But I think that we need to find different ways or different visualizations for people to look at data. So whether that's a Data Studio report, which is a free tool with Google, if it's a third-party vendor that you have that gives you a real-time dashboard, or a Domo, which is kind of like you import all your data and you can layer it and different reports can be made and cards can be shared. You need to find a tool that is easy for your organization, the people in the department, to look at. Once you give it to people, especially if you have that one in the newsroom that's on a board, maybe there's not a lot of ROI on what can be decided from that, but I can tell you that people will begin to look at it and they'll be interested in it and they'll be in their daily jobs wondering, I wonder what the data says. I wonder if I made this change, what would the difference be? People need to start questioning like what their actions do, what the downstream effect in data means. So I think honestly, just having a tool that people can access to look at it is a big like barrier between the data scientists or the person in the back in the IT room cranking out these reports, telling people what to do. They should share some form of that so people are familiar with it and they get more comfortable with it.
Welcome to the News Nirvana podcast. I'm your host, Nick Parker. The News Nirvana podcast features conversations with media professionals from across the country, highlighting our ever-evolving business models and showcasing the strong and effective journalism produced each and every day. This podcast is made possible to you by the generosity of Town News. Town News delivers solutions, services, and guidance empowering local media organizations to thrive in an ever-changing digital world. Contact Town News today to learn more how they can help you thrive. Connect with them at townnews.com.
Hello and welcome back. It's season two of the News Nirvana podcast. I'm the host, Nick Parker. I'm excited about this. I'm so excited to get this project up and rolling again because every other week or so, I get to talk to people in the news industry about what's going on, about how we can get better, or sometimes even just tell good stories of what we're doing, success stories from the news industry. Today, we have Allie Peters with a super long title. I actually kind of like you should be all be jealous of this title. Senior Product of what is it? I just got it wrong. Senior Product Manager of Emerging Product?
Yes. Product twice in the name.
Product twice in the name. For both, it's a dual role. You're with Town News and Lee Enterprises. So that means you have 12 bosses.
12 bosses. Just one boss. Multiple stakeholders. So
There we go. Well, Allie, you're here because you are a nerd. And we want to get nerdy this episode.
I'm a little less nerdy than some out there, but I do feel passionate about data. So
very good. Well, so look, data is everywhere. We hear this word a lot. We hear about data reporting. We hear about collecting data for our websites. We hear about collecting data for our success indicators and how to build audience, how to make money from our audiences. But I don't know that all of us really know what it is, what we should be tracking, what we are tracking, and what it means. So I kind of want to just start from the basic. If somebody says, hey, we got to start collecting data for our news organization, what does that mean? Where do you start? What should a news organization be tracking?
Well, I will say that probably not new to people, you probably have some sort of data collection. Somebody cares about data in your organization. You probably are collecting data. It's common that maybe that data is locked down. Maybe the organization feels that not everybody can handle that data, or they don't understand it, or it will be misused. Or maybe your organization, the people in it, feel intimidated by it. I think all of those are common things. But the thing that I feel most strongly about is democratizing data. We've got more digital touch points than ever before. Every single product that we purchase, every vendor that you talk to, they have analytics because we're in a data world now. Digital data, they go hand in hand. There's no there's print newspaper out there, but there's less analytics available with those print products. So as you, if you have a website, you probably have Google Analytics, and the team, you need to start building a data culture for your company to have everybody use data within your company, even though it's intimidating. Like you said, people don't know how to use it. So what should they be looking at?
I feel like it started with, it was kind of, you know, maybe one marketing person and your IT guy in the back office, right? In that far corner where the people, but what you just said, democratizing it, making it so that everybody can not only see it, but know what to do with it.
Yep. And I feel like it may seem like a no-brainer, but every single job in a news organization, they're producing, they have success metrics already. They know that the number of articles that they produce, or the words they write, or the subscriptions that they generate, the page views that they have, all of those things are success metrics to their jobs. So why not give those key pieces of information to those people so they can measure their performance? That's what I mean about democratizing data. Not everybody can be a data scientist. I'm not a data scientist. Please do not put me in that chair. But I do think that everybody needs to be able to see data in an organization. And that does require a little bit of training of explaining what this means. But they need to be able to look at the data and see, you know, how their work impacts the output of the organization.
Well, let's start there then. So let's just start at some of the basics of things that we should or are tracking and what those actually mean. Because I don't know, and myself included, I don't know what all of that means when I look at the numbers to be able to quickly translate it or have a conversation about what it means.
Yeah, so I think the most common analytic tool, everybody should have it pretty much in the news industry, is Google Analytics. There's a big change going on with Google Analytics. They're moving from Universal Analytics, which is UA, to a new system called GA4. It's fourth version, not really, that's not really the background. but it's basically a different way of thinking about how analytics are being tracked. So in the previous product, UA, you have basic things that Google was collecting on your behalf. So page views, users, unique page views, there's things out of the box, basically, and anything custom that you wanted to do had to be built in a custom event. In GA4, everything is a custom event. They're not assuming that you want page views. You set them up as an event-based type of thing, and you get to determine what's valuable to you. So
can we start there? The differences between page views and events, and I really think, just to make this clear for everybody, we should start with that basic definition.
Yeah, so I think in the news industry, the first thing that they cared about was page views. So how many page views can I get? The more they go up, the more revenue I get, the more people I supposedly get. But then along came a metric called users. This is not groundbreaking to anybody, but one user could be clicking to multiple pages on your website, right? So a better metric of who's viewing your website, how many people you have, is actually users. We're reaching bodies and eyeballs of people who are viewing your site. So if you're looking at any analytic report, I would recommend looking at users instead of page views, because they are actual bodies. So we've got users.
I remember when we talked before we recorded, you had said something to me, you're like, people talk about page views, but that doesn't mean what they think they mean.
Yeah, it doesn't mean what they think they mean. It's because I could be going to a site and I could have the whole day off and I really just am a news junkie and I want to read 900 pages worth of news, right? Really, how does that help the news organization do anything? They should probably paywall me, to be honest, so I can't do that. But it's basically, I mean, you really want to pay attention to that user's view. So as you're transitioning to GA4, there's also a couple different, there's one different metric that I have in my mind that you should pay attention to. So in the previous UA, you have page views and you have users. You also had a metric in there called average time on page, something around that, where it counted how long you're on the page, which is good. because we want to know, how long are people reading? Are they reading the headline? Are they reading the whole article? I have no idea. But then life happens for users who they're on their phone, they're reading your article, and then their toddler breaks a vase in the room over there. So they put their phone down and they run, and they never go back to that page. And maybe it stops counting when the phone kind of turns off there. So that's not necessarily engaging. It just shows you how long somebody is on the page. G4 has a new metric called average engagement time. So Google, while making this transition, and it's very stressful for people of what they should be using, they are having different metrics of how long is a user engaging with this page. So rather than average time on page, it's average engagement time. So
how do they define that?
I don't have that pulled up right now. I think it's...
I'm going to stump you.
You did. Again, not a data scientist over here. But it's. I would assume that there's some metric on like how long that they... the last movement on the phone or on the article.
Actually scrolling, actually clicking. Or
actually,
whatever.
Yeah. So. And I would say with any analytic product, if you have questions on what really that is, you should be able, Google especially has great documentation on looking up what that is. If you're purchasing like a secondary product with a vendor, they should be able to tell you how they're defining that. Oftentimes, secondary vendors, they will have those custom dimensions in there, that custom events that I mentioned previously, where they're tracking, like, I don't know, somebody clicked a play button on something. They in the data layer, they have to define at what point is the event triggered. So they should be able to define for you what the event is and how it's collected. So if you have questions on things like that, there should be answers out there. It should not be a black box.
Well, I let's talk about those events then. I think you just talked about, you know, maybe it's click play on something. But so do we need, I guess, the time in the forefront? Like, we need to think about what we set those events up that we want to know.
Yeah.
Setup process.
So I would say, yeah, you need to know what you're going to collect when you set up an event. So are you going to, what do you want to know? So subscription is probably the easiest way to think about this. It's an e-commerce event. When somebody is filling out a subscription, do you need a separate event for when they enter their credit card information? Because at that point, they're really, really ready to provide their financial information for you. They don't have to go get their credit card out of their car. It's sitting right there. So that's kind of, their intent is probably higher than at the beginning of the form. So each event that you fire would be just something that you want to measure that's impactful. So when you're setting up events, again, on a purchase form, you have your name, you have your address, you have your credit card, and then you actually have the purchase button. I would suggest all of those would be kind of separate events that you set up.
Well, let's look a little bit how to use it. And I think we can start with, because really there's two things, right? We want to use it to build and engage readers, users, and we want to use it to generate revenue. And so let's start with that audience part of it first, about building that audience, getting people there. How do we take that stuff that you just talked about and we see those numbers, how do we put it to use?
Yep, kind of what I was talking about was the definitions of things, but actually that's really kind of who's setting up your analytics. That's kind of their job. They probably talk circles around me about it. They know what they're doing. If they're setting it up, they know what's going on. But now we're coming to journalists and newsrooms and advertisers. When they look at their analytics, like, how do they know what to do with them? Great, you put a big thing up on a board that shows me how many page views I have. What do I do with that? Is that correct where we're at?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I would...
It's going to be different if we're talking about a reporter versus a photographer or maybe the section editor, right? That they're going to want to look at different things to see how to build.
Yep. I think that what a lot of companies are missing is sitting down with those different departments and determining what they want to do. So if we're looking at from the newsroom side, if they're looking at their analytics and they're like, we could just we have so much potential if we could just get more traffic. Sit down as a group and define that our goal is to get more traffic. So let's look at our traffic sources. Where are they coming from? And really define a distribution strategy. So if your goal is to generate more traffic, you need to look at how you're distributing traffic. If social media isn't one of the top three sources for your website, you probably need to rethink about that kind of strategy that you have there. Another one that is a big leader, I would say in the top five, it's got to be email, your newsletters for any publishing companies. If that's not up near the top, you probably need to rethink your strategy on that. So there are different, when you're looking at different pieces of information or your different goals, what you should be measuring, you should sit down with your group and determine what do you want to do and what KPIs help you get there or what pieces of data determine your success in that.
What are you, looking at specific things? I guess, We're talking about the sources right now. So you really just want to know how that where were they before they got here? What drove them to our site? And I think, you know, we all have that love-hate relationship with social media, right?
Yes.
I know we should use it more, but I don't wanna
give them away my content. Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, but that's the biggest thing that our, as an industry, we've fought for so long, right? Is the, how do we get them there without giving it all away? But that leads to the next piece, I think, is okay. We've looked at that data. We've adjusted things so that we're doing a better job of utilizing our newsletters, of utilizing our social media channels. We're getting people there. Now we want to make money because the reader revenue, viewer revenue has to be in our plans. You know, nobody's going to sit with someone like you and set the goals for the data, right? And not say that's up there. So what's different, I guess, in the process when
for that different group, what they should be looking at? So you've got plenty of page views, you got people coming to your site, and you still want to make more money because that is the name of the game. Got to make money in business. Right. We have all the traffic that we want. Now, how do we monetize it? There's two ways, two different groups. You have your advertising side, and then you also have your potentially, if you have a subscription model, kind of your membership side. What should they be looking at? So different things that you can look at. When you get to, let's start with the subscription side. Paywalls are kind of a great way to present people to register, or different calls to action to register. But paywalls are kind of the most important thing that you should be looking at. You can set events on paywalls. You can have smarter paywalls that kind of present people of different groups, a different paywall. But the things that data-wise, what I would be looking at if you're trying to measure the performance of your paywall are some industry standard KPIs that are presented by the Lenfest Institute of Journalism. Drew a blank there really quick. But kind of benchmarking, because membership is hard, right? So there are some benchmarks out there to measure your performance of where you should be. Some of those are your meter stop rate, your paid stop conversion rate. Those also, other metrics are ARPU, customer lifetime value. Those types of things can help you determine kind of, you know, how much money you're willing to spend to get a user to convert, and how effective your metering is on your sites.
So I guess kind of maybe put a little bit of that into more plain language so that people understand what those mean and how you're using it to figure out when to trigger.
So your meter stop rate is basically how many times your paywall showed divided by the unique users on your website. Your paid stop conversion rate is how many times those people convert. ARPU stands for average revenue per user. That tells you kind of from a marketing perspective how much money you can spend to acquire a user. It kind of guides your, like, are you, how much Facebook dollars should you be targeting on Facebook? That type of item. and customer lifetime value is the value of a subscriber. So how much you're willing to, you know, you can determine from that how much you're willing to spend to keep that person. So those are standard benchmarks that you can kind of use to help you with your subscription model. On the other side, you have your revenue side that also helps you make money.
Well, before we go to that, I want to go backward just a little bit, actually. You mentioned earlier about watching events and how you can use that. So are there specific events, or I guess, you know, I know there's not a silver bullet. So I'm not asking you to tell me the silver bullet for every news organization in the country. But are there specific events that we should be, that we know if we watch for, or if we set them up right, we know that's going to help us figure out when to trigger in a user's, I guess, life cycle or entry into a life cycle through our systems?
So two things are coming to my mind right now. One is kind of like behavioral grouping, which can be used by like a CDP or a DMP to group users to kind of power when you provide an offer to them. It's behavioral targeting. So let's say I go to a website I've never gone to before and I read a couple articles. I would be grouped into an audience or a segment called anonymous. That would be like an anonymous user. It's common. I think there's plenty of products out there that kind of have that grouping functionality, but the smart products that are synonymous with that are DMPs, which is a data management platform, and CDPs, which is a CDP's customer data platform. They both do things differently. CDPs technically have like one-to-one user profiles, where DMPs are more cohort-based things. So you can kind of tell the difference of behaviorally people based on the audience, based on rules and things that you set up with events. So an anonymous user has never come to the website before. A brand lover has come 5 times in the last month and they've read 6 articles. That's kind of a way that events would be used to group people. And then when it comes to e-commerce, it's the purchase funnel, that you have different events set up, for when they, you know, when they click the register button or they open the form, kind of what I was talking about, those events.
Love the automated funnel.
Yeah. And the funnel is hard to get to. I think everybody wants to get to it. Everybody kind of has one, but they may not understand how to move people down the funnel, how to encourage them to get down the funnel, which is tough. I think it's just a bunch of testing to get people down there and presenting offers to them at the appropriate times and things. So using both kind of audience-based and then looking at where you're having a hard time in your funnel, different strategies to get there. I would not say I know all the answers. If you, I don't have them. I don't have your answers.
All.
I think a lot of data things, like people may not know the answers. I think that sometimes some external consulting is extremely helpful. I know that if you don't have all the answers in your organization, I don't think it's something that you just give up on data for. I think that it's like, There's people out there that can guide you through those specific use cases and help you get results. So,
the News Nirvana podcast is made possible by Town News, the people behind Data Insights. With Data Insights, you don't have to be a data scientist to understand your mission-critical analytics. This turnkey solution separates the signal from the noise, empowering you to take decisive, data-backed action. When you're ready to give your team the potential of real-time data and performance indicators, visit townnews.com.
Well, I kind of want to circle this back to where we started a little bit, because you talked about in the very beginning, one of the first things you said was the democratization of data. And how do you, I guess, and I've had conversations with people in their various organizations. How do we talk about it? How do we get buy-in from all of the different pieces, the people in our organization, so that they can understand it? Because we just talked about a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that for many people, it's going to be, you know, overhead pieces of it hit. But I guess how do we figure this out so that we can get everybody into it, so that every piece of it, and like you said, every job in that news organization is going to benefit and going to figure out how to do their little bit, their job better if we're watching this data. So how do we have that conversation? What are those things we can do so that people understand it and understand how to use it?
I think that the big thing is sharing it with people first. Have a place where they can access it. And maybe that's not Google Analytics. I have been in meetings where people bring their Google Analytics report and they slap it on the table and they say, this means this. And you look at it and it does not mean that. There can be a lot of misuse.
I've been that guy a few times.
I think I've done it a few times too. And they're like, that's not what that means, Allie. But I think that we need to find different ways or different visualizations for people to look at data. So whether that's a Data Studio report, which is a free tool with Google, if it's a third-party vendor that you have that gives you a real-time dashboard, or a Domo, which is kind of like you import all your data and you can layer it and different reports can be made and cards can be shared. You need to find a tool that is easy for your organization, the people in the departments, to look at. Once you give it to people, especially if you have that one in the newsroom that's on a board, maybe there's not a lot of ROI on what can be decided from that, but I can tell you that people will begin to look at it and they'll be interested in it and they'll be in their daily jobs wondering, I wonder what the data says. I wonder if I made this change, what would the difference be? People need to start questioning like what their actions do, what the downstream effect in data means. So I think honestly, just having a tool that people can access to look at it is a big like barrier between the data scientists or the person in the back in the IT room cranking out these reports, telling people what to do. They should share some form of that so people are familiar with it and they get more comfortable with it.
What I'm curious, and this is more of a fun question, is which part of the organizations do you get like more?
I'm somewhere in between.
Or the pushback is it the news? Is it advertising?
So I'm actually, my background, I started in the advertising side, completely from the, I think they called it DFP back then, like ad entry, ECPMs, viewability rates, things like that. That's been my history. I'm from the advertising side. As my career has progressed, I'm more on the newsroom side now of understanding things from that perspective. And as far as the people in the organization of the person that's the data scientist versus the person who doesn't want to touch data, I'm somewhere in between, and I'm a fairly good communicator. So I am not claiming to be anything of a data scientist, but I feel strongly that data has helped me kind of in my job understand if we could only get here, then we could do this, or it opens up doors. I think that it's something that people have been afraid of, and I put myself in the middle of that conversation. To get them data.
that was very, very fair and down the middle. Good job. is there a thing that you've shown where you see that light bulb click for more people? Is it the visualization side of it when you can kind of show a chart like, hey, this is what this really shows us?
I would say for most people, on my town news role side, we do have data solutions. And as I've been showing different clients the solutions, I go through and everybody just glazes over, right? They're like, oh, just another thing. I have to use my brain. How do I use this? But as I go in and I drop in little notes of like, hey, here's your top five sections. Do you have newsletters on all of these? I see this is different from you than it is from everybody else. You should look at your strategy on this point. It's just the thing that people, it's hard to know what to do with data, but if you can look at like your overall goals, you'll know what to do with it. And there are people that can help you with strategies with things. Like if you have no idea how to improve your distribution, there's definitely ways to do it. And you just need to find a person that has some recommendations for you on it. I've seen people where they don't know what to do, and then I'll say the smallest thing and they're like, oh, I could get there. I could do it. It's just so overwhelming for most people when they look at it.
Finding that one relatable point.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And I also think another thing, very off topic here, but just popped in my brain. I've seen a lot of doubt with different data products. I've been in part of an organization where there's, well, this system says my page views is this, this system says my page views is this, and then there's this other report pulled from this different area. That is so frustrating, especially for, I know, people that are leading, like the data charge, the person in the back who's trying to share more data, but people are doubting it because the data isn't one-to-one. The thing that I would say about that for organizations who are looking into it is, like, what's the difference between 44 and 45? Every single platform counts things differently. My primary example is, let's go for a walk. I'm going to put on an Apple Watch and a Fitbit, and we're going to walk a mile. How many steps did I take? Because Fitbit is going to count it different than Apple. And who knows who's better? I don't know. Apple's like a superpower, but that is like Fitbit's whole business model. So they're going to be different steps. But what you're looking for in platforms that you purchase is the trends are the same. I went up by 10% and that means this. Or I went down by 50% and that means this. They should be relatively the same. But I've seen companies that doubt the accuracy of different ones, and it just kind of drives them away from different solutions that could help them. So
the trend is more important than the specific number.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, they should be relative. Like, they should not be 500 off. They should be relative. If you're significantly off, there is something wrong. But if you find a tool that your company likes and it's just slightly off of Google Analytics, well, Google has a secret sauce. They count things differently. We're never going to know exactly what they do. So as long as it's in relation, it's going up and down the same, and it's not too far off, I wouldn't be concerned about it.
Are there, you know, we all do so many different things as news organizations now, right? Mm-hmm. We are writing for print. We're writing for the website. We've got photography. We've got video. We've got podcasting is now a regular thing. Are tracking all of those things the same?
That's a good question. I think that multimedia measurements are still developing. I don't think there's a ton of standardization around like what a play is necessarily. Or a pause or a replay. I think that those are still kind of squishy out there in the industry. You should be tracking them, and you should understand kind of when we were talking about what does this data point mean? What does this mean? If you're a broadcaster and you're looking at video plays, you're probably more familiar with what a play means. But like, what is a quartile completion rate? What is a rewatch? What is those types of things. Even with audio, with you, I'm sure you know, like a percent of completion of audio view. It's I think that the industry is getting better, and I think that there's more solutions out there that have better like outset events of how to make events more accessible for multimedia aspects, but I think that there's still a long way to go. And I think that from UA to GA4, there are a lot of improvements in that space. So,
yeah, and I know that when you get into the multimedia stuff, whether it's video or audio and podcasting, that you have to worry about the 10 million different platforms.
Yeah,
there are too.
There's no standardization. Everybody's kind of doing it a little bit differently.
No, and even 3 or 4 years ago, right, in podcast world, we were looking at listens.
Yeah.
And that's kind of gone, and it's downloads. Well, you get a different definition of what download is depending on what platform you're looking at. And Your reminder, though, I think for no matter what it is, I liked the reminder that you said a few minutes ago where look for the trend, not necessarily the number, because I would get fixated. I find this myself too, fixated on a number, or if on one part of the report it says this, but then I look at two other parts and they don't add up to equal that first one, that frustrates me.
And it is frustrating.
If I look at the trend, I can still see kind of what I'm doing.
Yeah. I think it's incredibly frustrating when things don't add up. But the reason why, especially with those different parties, is because nobody's completely counting things absolutely the same, and nobody's ever going to count the same as Google. Like,
right. Well, and then you have the two biggest players, right, that don't like each other. You have Google and you have Apple, and neither one of them are going to make public how their systems work.
Completely. They have a lot of documentation. Enjoy reading that.
What's available anyway?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's a lot more coming for the multimedia world. We're looking currently, we've got a CDP, and I know that a CDP is not like a data collector, but they have different events that trigger different things that put into a user profile. There's a lot more out there of different systems that are coming that can get you kind of a better view on how consumption of your content's working on multimedia pieces.
Well, as we wrap up, I'm going to ask you just to do a little bit of a soapbox here.
A soapbox? Okay.
Yeah. So, well, if you are meeting with a new organization, someone who maybe isn't doing, using data collection as a big part of their process and their plan, or maybe is just doing a little bit, but it's one person in a back room, what is your pitch? What do you really want to tell them to make sure that they understand what it can do for them as a news organization?
Okay, so the first thing that I would say, probably under like a little bit off, but if you're collecting data and you're not sharing it with everybody in your company, I think that it's naive of you to think that it can just stick with one person. I think that you need to find a way to share it with other people, because there's going to be different products, different vendors, different things that come along that will have data. And the more knowledgeable that your whole company is about data, the more they're going to use it in the future. If they're not using it, I would say that it's something that can help you guide your North Star compass, right? You need to set goals around it. Data platforms, it's just a tool. If you don't use it properly, it's not going to work for you. If you bought a data product and you put it up in your newsroom and people are looking at it, that's not the solution. You need to meet with your team and define what they want to track, what's important to them, what are their goals, and determine what metrics can measure success for those. So if you just bought something out there, you spent a ton of money and you didn't talk about it with your team, you're doing it wrong. You probably just shouldn't have done it. But as you find these solutions, as you're looking at reports, meet with the people that are actually doing the work to define what does success look like and how are we going to track it? And it's going to improve your work. And it's going to, the impact of every single person is going to add up, and you'll see it in the data.
Make it an organizational-wide effort to get everybody buying in.
Everybody can get it. Everybody knows what they're doing that's good in their job and what they're doing that's bad in their job. Everybody knows that. Just put some data points to it. Let them measure it.
And I think it makes it easy then, or easier, I guess, really, then to see what you can do to get that kind of positive feedback, right? Oh, look, I did this, and now I'm, more people are reading my stories, more people are clicking on my ads or what, right, whatever.
Yeah, I generated this many page views. I generated this many conversion leads. I output this many assets. Even if I made less assets, but the words are longer, like there's the average word count is greater. There's different metrics of success. What should each person be focusing on? What is the goal? And that's kind of the individual level. And then as a company, you should have people overarching of like, okay, if you have a subscription model, what's the most common thing between all these conversion leads? Is it a topic? Should we have somebody writing about a specific topic that has conversions that people are interested in? There's the individual level of people, and then there's even a larger planning of like, what are we focused on as a whole? What's our goal?
Well, it's finally the clearest picture we've had in the history of news organizations of what resonates with our readers, with our community. Are we really connecting with them when we tell their stories?
Yep. And is national content really what wins, or is it local content? What's more engaging? And I'm feeling it's local.
It's local. Come on. We all know it's local. Right. We all know.
Yeah.
It's local.
We care about the community Chamber of Commerce event and that a million people showed up to it. We care about those things more than we do about, well, hopefully, about like a makeup tutorial from Kardashian, maybe.
Well, and I think, and you know, a previous interview we talked about this, like those things have their place, right?
They do.
There are things that are going to bring in audience, but they're not going to keep the audience.
They're not going to stay. That's right. So if you do have a subscription model, local content is what converts.
And that's probably the key thing to look at, right? Is okay. Look at what's bringing them in, but also what keeps them coming back.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, there's a place for those, that traffic that drives a lot of those stories that drive a lot of traffic because it's called ads. It's called, that's what the advertising side is about.
It's okay to love.
You can't replicate it. You can't replicate it oftentimes, but let's optimize our ad experience on those. So
there we go. Well, Allie, I think that kind of gets us the first dive, and I'm going to warn people, this is a first dive. We're going to have probably a couple, maybe even three episodes about data and the role it plays and how we can use it. But I wanted this to get us started. So I appreciate you taking a little bit of time.
Yeah, hopefully I just kind of like high level started it. There's a lot to dive into. So looking forward to catching up with your follow-up podcasts.
If people want to follow you or find you with questions, can they do that somewhere? Are you on the socials?
I'm on LinkedIn. You can follow me on LinkedIn. I think it's just Allie Peters. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. Hit me up.
There we go. I wondered maybe if there was like, you know, a whole hashtag news data Twitter or something.
No.
Allie Peters, thank you very much. That's going to wrap us up for this episode. We will talk to everybody next time.
Thanks for having me.
The News Nirvana podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or most any of your favorite podcast apps. The News Nirvana podcast is made possible by the generosity of Town News. Connect with Town News at townnews.com. The News Nirvana podcast is produced by Fredcasts. Think, speak, act.